Continuing the next halacha, halacha of bona construction. So of course, bona is halacha deraisa. Person who builds even the smallest amount is considered to be in violation of an av halacha. Nevertheless, the Gemara discusses the concept in terms of the halacha bona that we begin with, and that's the concept of asiyas ohel. So if a person makes a tent-like type of a structure, that is also considered to be within the parameters, within the category of asiyas ohel. So here the Gemara distinguishes between an ol kavua and an ol aroi. But sometimes a CSO is considered to be a diaraisa. That's what's made as an ol kavua. I'm going to try not to define precisely what ol kavua means right now, because we're going to have a little bit more about this next week. But just for a very, very definition, ol kavua seems to connote something which means a permanent type of a structure, whereas an ol aroi, a temporary type of a structure, is only considered to be an issa derabanan. So we're going to speak a little bit about this concept of asiyas ohel. What exactly is considered to be an ohel? What falls under the categories of asiyas ohel? Hopefully, the shiurim continue. Hopefully, next week we'll speak a little bit more, just precise what those terms are, roi and kevud, are all about. So there is a major machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam as to how to define this issur of asiyas ohel, particularly this issur derabanan, the more common scenario of this issur derabanan of asiyas ohel roi. So Rashi comments in several places that the issur of asiyas ohel aroi that we find in Chazal, that the Chachamim prohibited making even temporary types of structures, Rashi claims that there's a difference between a gag and a mechitza. That if a person makes a structure with a roof, or even a roof by itself, even without walls, even if it's only of a temporary nature, that is considered to be a problem of asiyas ohel. According to Rashi, if a person makes mamash a permanent structure, then he's chayav mederaisa. If he makes a temporary type of a roof, then he's not chayav mederaisa, it's part of it also, that would be an issur derabanan. Only the chiyagad that the Chachamim institute, the issur of asiyas ohel derabanan. Whether a person makes a temporary type of a wall, Rashi says, although it's true if a person mamash builds a wall, a person takes bricks and mortar and really builds a wall, so of course that would be bona mederaisa. But mederabanan, a level of derabanan, if a person makes a temporary type of a structure, and the temporary type of a structure doesn't have a roof to it, it's just a wall alone, to Rashi, that would not be a problem whatsoever. Rashi has a idea from the Gemara Masechet Erevin, which has this question, but this is Rashi Sheet in several places in Shas, that the Issur Derabanan of Asiyas Ohel Aroi was limited only to Asiyas Gag, not to Asiyas Mechitza. So it's a misnekuda that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, also in several places in Shabbat and Erevin. Rabbeinu Tam claims that it's not true, that some reinterprets that Gemara that Rashi quoted as a ayah. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that Asiyas Mechitza Aroi sometimes is a problem of asiyas ohel, and sometimes not. What does it depend on? So the Netam claims that it depends on what the function, what the purpose of the mechitza is. So the Netam explains, Sabriskevot, that there are really two different types of asiyas mechitza that are possible. One is a mechitza that's tzniusa b'yalma. So tzniusa b'yalma, here tzniusa is just an example, but what tzniusa b'yalma means, that a wall that's being put up, a temporary type of a structure is being put up, which doesn't really have halachic purposes to it. I'm not doing it for a particular halachic purpose, but rather I'm doing it just for privacy purposes. That's what the tzniyus of the yama means. Or for any other possible purpose that's not halachically mandated. That's called the mechitzla tzniyus of the yama. In contrast to the mechitzla tzniyus of the yama, Rabbi Tam says this, what's called in halacha a mechitza hamateres. A mechitza hamateres means that a mechitza that's accomplishing a very specific halachic purpose. Let's say, for example, the person has an area where they're not permitted to carry on Shabbos, and they want to surround the area with mechitza. They want to make a wall, temporary wall, and they take it down as soon as Shabbos is over. So they want to put some stuff, they want to take some curtains, they want to take some boxes, they want to take something to surround an area to permit them to carry on Shabbos. So then at Tabol, that's what's called a mechitza hamateres. Here, the mechitza is not just being made stamped at Tzimus of the Yama, but rather the purpose of the mechitza is to be mapped to something, to permit some kind of an activity that would otherwise not be acceptable on Shabbos. So comes the Beit Tav and says, that's called the mechitza hamateres, that's a much more serious violation of the Shabbos, that's a much more significant type of a mechitza, and the Chiyah Gavd, under those circumstances, the Chachamim prohibited the making of that kind of a mechitza. Again, this Rabbi Tam had a deal from the Gemara that there is such a distinction, but Tam didn't just make up the distinction out of a thin air. Rabbi Tam claims that the Maskonas HaDvarim, some kinds of mechitzas are permissible on Shabbos. Again, everything is aroy, everything is temporary. Some kind of mechitzas are permissible. Other kinds of mechitzas are problematic. I remember several years ago, this was back... a couple of years I used to teach in Stern. Could be up to check with your daughter. Could be she was in the class even for this one. So I asked one of the questions on the final. We're learning the Shabbat. I asked one of the questions on the final was, give me two examples of Mechitza HaMateres. So the word Materes, I wrote Mem, Tov, Reish, Tov. The problem was there was no Nekudos on the final. So 90% of the girls thought that I meant, give me two examples of Mechitza HaMuteres. A Mechitza you're allowed to make. So many of the girls gave examples of different kinds of Mechitzas, which were Lutzminus of the Alma. So I'm reading them the Mechitzas, the first Mechitza that I marked. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. I have 10 Mechitzas and everyone's getting it wrong. And then I realize this is ridiculous. It's a good thing in life. When one person's making a mistake, then you can assume it's their mistake. But everyone's making a mistake, then you have to assume it's your mistake. So I go back to the Mechitza and I'm reading it. I said, how come everyone's getting this wrong? And then it dawned on me, because everybody thought it meant two examples of Mechitza Muteres. Everybody got a free data term. Everybody back credit for that one. So this is a sheet that's Rebbein in time. The difference in Allah between the Mechitza and the news of Yama and the Mechitza Muteres. How do we task in Allah and the Mechitza Rashi and Mintam? So we assume the halacha like Rebbein Tam. If we task in the halacha like Shita Rebbein Tam, that's the most Rishonim assume that is in fact the distinction in the halacha that a mechitza news of Yama is permissible, a mechitza materis is a problem. What are some practical examples of a mechitza hamateres, which is usur on Shabbos? So it comes a minute time and shows you from the Gemara itself. There are really two different two examples. At least a minute time learned from the Gemara. Rashi had a different twist in the Gemara. Rabbi Natan had two examples from the Gemara which qualifies the mechitza materis, which would be problematic on Shabbos. So the first is the example that we gave before, the mechitza for the purposes of an era, for the purpose of carrying a Shabbos. So you have an area which is let's say partially enclosed, and for some technical reason it's not acceptable as an eruv. So a person wants to just touch it up a little bit. So you're just going to move something over. Sometimes it can be a very, very small item that has to be moved. Like move a garbage can or something over just to close up a hole. So you can do a very, very small, insignificant type of activity in Shabbos, but thereby you will be master of the area to carry in. So according to Rashi, that's okay. As long as it's temporary, not nailing anything in, only temporary. So according to Rashi, as long as it's the Torah's Mechitza, it's Mutter, and Shechonach, and Pasnik, and Minitab, that would qualify as the Mechitza Materis, which would be a problem, because you're accomplishing something, you're being Matir, to carry in an area that would otherwise be also. The other example that Rabbeinu Tam claims exists in the Gemara is a Mechitza for the purpose of Hilchas Sukkah. We know that a Sukkah has a bare minimum how many Mechitzas it needs. The first Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, a Sukkah needs three Mechitzas, the whole Drosha, the Sukkah, the Sukkah, the Sukkah, the whole Lang Megillah in the beginning was Masechet Sukkah, to support this idea that a Sukkah requires three defanos. So what would that look like as follows? Let's say a person has a sukkah and one of the walls falls down. He only has two walls now. So the way it is, Bashar Sham right now, he can't eat in the sukkah. If he's in the sukkah now, he won't be yet to the mitzvah. He'll be mavat in the mitzvah there, right? He should be the sukkah. So it's awesome to eat in this area. So what does he do? So he wants to bring a garbage can over. He wants to bring over something. He wants to pile up some svarim. He wants to make up some makeshift small mechitza in order to make that third mechitza. So then Tam says, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that on Yantif, because that would be a violation of Mechitza Materis. You're taking an area that you couldn't eat in before, and you're transforming it into a place you can't eat. That's the problem. So it's not a Makapatish, this is really Derech Bona. Makapatish is usually on a Kli. This is a little bit more attack-oriented, more of a structure-oriented. So comes to Benet Tam and says, however, what if a person has a Sukkah that's already kosher? A three walls of it already. And he just wants to put up a fourth wall, just literally with the use of the Alma. That with the use of the Alma can mean he wants privacy, or the bumps come in, the animals, whatever it is, he wants to put it in to make it a little bit more comfortable for him. So it comes a minute time and says, that would be perfectly permissible. That's mutter even chetchila on Shabbos, because that type of mechitza is not considered to be a significant halachic mechitza, because even without the fourth mechitza. So first of all, I know one of the biggest chedushim I had when I came out to California. So we got engaged in Chol HaMoed Sukkah. So I went out there for Chol HaMoed. So one of the biggest chedushim I had in Hilchos Sukkah in California is that everybody has three wall sukkahs. That in New York, no one would ever think you're making a three wall sukkah. You shouldn't make a three wall sukkah. It gets cold. It gets cold with a four wall sukkah. In California, it's Mekubal. Everybody has a three wall sukkah because it gets too hot with a four wall sukkah. So let's say a person has a three wall sukkah. So you come into the sukkah, now you know, you're from New York, you feel a little inhibited, you know, you want to have a little more privacy. So you put up a fourth wall. So the Tam says you're allowed to do that. You can't nail it in, you can't make kavua. But to just bring over a curtain or something, to bring over something to serve as a fourth wall, that would be permissible. So even according to Ben Tam, because that would be a mechitza that's nearest to the Alba. So these are the two examples of mechitzas which Rabbi Natan claims are problematic, which appear in the Gemara itself, the mechitza for the purposes of the Eruv, and the mechitza for the purposes of the Chesukah, namely the third wall of the Sukkah, not the fourth wall. So the Rishayim take Rabbi Natan, but we have to be really analyze Rabbi Natan properly, because we do pass the Malach like Rabbi Natan, and the Rishayim extend Rabbi Natan, so you know there are other examples of mechitzas that could potentially be labeled as mechitzas, Hamatera says. So comes... come to Rishayim and say, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, there are certain halachas that were instituted l'chavod svarim. Now the original halachas were said l'chavod sefer Torah, and they extend, and we assume halacha, we try to assume that our printed svarim, even though they're not quite written, the kedusha, the full sense of the word, we try to treat our printed svarim with the same status in halacha as the written svarim. Although it's like it's a poskim, there's some acharon who disagree with it, some acharon say the printed svarim don't really have kedusha to them. But we try, at least the Chachimah, we try to be nizar with our svarim the same way they were back with the svarim in the days of old. So when we use the term svarim, even though we're conjuring up the image of our printed svarim, in the original discussion, the Rishonim was talking about the handwritten svarim. So there are a whole series of halachas that appear in the brachas about covet of the Torah, covet of tefillin, covet of svarim in general. And one of the halachas are is that a person is not supposed to go to the bathroom in the presence of these kinds of advarim shebe kedusha. So in the olden days, this was a very big problem. The olden days didn't have bathrooms in Yuchadim like we have today. The bathrooms went to the house. They would go outside the house to go to the bathroom. So the Rishonim write that sometimes, in the middle of the night, a person feels they have to go to the bathroom. 3 o'clock in the morning, it's snowing outside, he's not interested in going outside. So sometimes they would have, like, even in the house, they would have, like, a small, reserved area, like a temporary kind of a place to go to the bathroom. But the houses then weren't so big. So a person was at Tamar Chachos, we had some svarim in the house. So the Rishonim quote from the Maharam in Rittenberg, who dealt with his dilemma, he says, what do you do? If your person feels he has to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, he's not going to schlep outside, and if he has some svarim in the house, so what does he do? So the Maharam in Rittenberg says, so he has to make a mechitza b'fnei ha-svarim. The din is that you're not allowed to go to the bathroom stam in the presence of svarim. It has to be a davar ha-mafsik. You have to have a mechitza. You have to have something which creates a different rishus. So a mechitza in halacha only has to be 10 tefachim. It has to be up to the sky. So says Maharam in Rittenberg, you have to be careful to create a mechitza, to build a mechitza, put some boxes, put something separating between you're going to the bathroom and the svarim are to ensure the kedushas of svarim. So the Maharam in Rittenberg is quoted as saying, that's all fine during the week. What about on Friday night? What about on Shabbos? First, has to go to the bathroom in front of the svarim. So he's going to go build this makeshift mechitza on Friday night. He's not allowed to do that. Says the Maharam in Rittenberg, that's a mechitza on the terrace. Because you're building a mechitza for the purposes of doing something that otherwise in the halacha you would not be permitted to do. So since kedushas svarim become the svarim prohibits you from going to the bathroom in front of the svarim, you're trying to build a mechitza to be matir that. That goof is called a mechitza mataras. Quit Rashi, that's okay. Quit the Rashi, all mechitza to mutter. But with the didan that we pass the Rebbeinu Tam, what do you do about that? So the Maharam in Rittenberg says, l'chora, the only thing you can do you have to rely on what the Gemara says as a follows. The Gemara says, Machlekes HaTanoim about this, Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. So we have the Vasim Lekula. Namely, true, it's also to make an Oel Aroi, whatever Oel Aroi means, according to Rashi Agag, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even the Mechitza sometimes. So Rabbi Eliezer says, not only are you not permitted to build an Oel Aroi from scratch, but you're not even allowed to be Meisif for the Oel Aroi. You're not even allowed to add on to a pre-existing Oel Aroi. And come to Chacham and say, no, it's not true. Come to Chacham and say that if the mechitza is there ready, and you just want to touch it up a little bit, or even if the gag is there a little bit, you just want to extend it a little bit, so the whole thing is only midrabanan anyway, the whole arai, it's only midrabanan. So, hey, the chazal built into this is a drabanan of all arai, that if it's derech osof, it's only maisif of all arai, that it's okay. What constitutes a maisif? Where do you say that this is called asiyah mitchila, and where do you draw the line and say it's called only a maisif? So the Gemara says that it depends whether it was a tefach or not. If it was already made a tefach, again, either the gag according to Rashi or the mechitz according to Ben Tam, if it already existed a tefach and now you're just spreading it out a little bit, so that's called the tosefus al ol aroi, and that's muta even the chetchila according to the Rabbanan. But as a whole, that's also included in the Yisrael Rabbanan. We don't pass it like that. So come to Marav and says, l'chor, that's the only thing that's going to salvage you. The person has to go to the bathroom for the night. So achocha meina barosha, says the Marav, Friday afternoon, what the person should do is, that corner, that area of his house where he's going to use it as a temporary bathroom, so he should put a little bit of a mechita there from beforehand. If he doesn't want to put a whole mechita there for a night, the guy has not such a big house, he's going to close off half the house, he needs that area of other things, the kids are running around there. So he doesn't want to put up a whole mechita there Friday afternoon, so he should put up something. Not just a mashu, we should put up at least a tefach. You take a little or something, you take a box or something, and you're 10 tefachim tall, and one tefach wide, so you start at the mechitza midyal yom, and then when it comes Friday night, if you only have to extend the mechitza, that would be okay. But anything short of that, just to make the mechitza mechila the Maram holds, would be a problem according to Rabbi Natan. And the Ramah quotes as Maram lahalocha. So it's this Maharam that caused a very, very serious shiloh that all the Echoreidim are bothered with, that L'chayr the Maram is against the Gemara. It's against the Mefereshi Gemara in the second part of Maseches Beitzah. The Gemara Maseches Beitzah is not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Yom Tov. But L'chayra, there shouldn't be any difference between the two. I say L'chayra because that may be part of the answer at some point, but we'll see as we get there. Comes the Gemara Maseches Beitzah, it raises the following shiloh. We know that certain malachas are permissible on Yom Tov, certain malachas are prohibited on Yom Tov. So kibui is a tricky kind of a malacha. Extinguishing a fire is a very, very tricky malacha, because sometimes kibui is permissible and sometimes kibui is not permissible. The basic guidelines are that kibui l'tzerech achol nefesh is mutar. So let's say the Marshal of the Gemara says the person wants to have a barbecue on Yom Tov, so he wants to take a piece of meat and put it out literally on top of the coal. So by putting the meat on top of the coal, you're inevitably going to put out, you're going to extinguish part of the coal. So it's called Bishra Gumre, and the Gemara says that's Tete Gomorrah on Yom Tov. Mamish L'tzerech Achol Nefesh. The Kibui Gufa is enhancing the Achol Nefesh, that's okay on Yom Tov. But other kinds of Kibui are problematic on Yom Tov. Let's say the modern day post can carry this mussel over to our stoves. The person has food on the fire, the person has food on the stove on Yom Tov, and food is already finished cooking, and he wants to take the food off the fire and put it to serve it, and he wants to turn off the gas. So Rubu the Pelskim hold that turning off the gas is a problem on Yom Tov, because the purpose of the turning off the gas is not L'Echol Nefesh. You're not enhancing the food anymore, you just don't want the kitchen to be hot or something, you don't want to waste gas, so that's the problem on Yom Tov. Not only is turning off the gas entirely a problem, even lowering the gas is a problem, because lowering the gas is also called Kibui. The Kibui, the Mixus, the Gemara says, is also considered to be a Kibui. So according to Rav the Pelskim today, to lower the gas on Yom Tov is a problem.
Hot while you're
lowering. Oh, so that's the answer to the following case. Let's say a person wants to keep the food on the fire, and they want the food to simmer, but they'll keep warm a little bit, but they don't want it to burn. So the other post can say, that's okay. That's like Talach and Kulim, the Bishrat Gumra, just as you're allowed to put meat on the coals on Yom Tov for the purposes of barbecuing, because that's the Chonefesh Mamish. You're literally enhancing the taste of the food. And here, by lowering the gas, I'm enhancing the taste of the food, because I want it to stay warm, and I don't want it to burn. So that would be okay. So kibui is a tricky malacha. Sometimes it's mutter and yontah, sometimes it's also and yontah. So Gemara raises the following shayla, the second breath of Masechet Beit. There is a din that a person is not permitted to be mishamish b'tasra l'or haner. That the halacha is that one is not permitted to have relations in the presence of a candle. There's a candle that's lit in the room, so there's an isser to have tashmish. Folks can say, now does that apply to a candle? It applies to a zeh, to an electric light. Also, there's a light on in the room itself, so that's the problem. The Ika Mikra Din, if there's a light on it in an adjacent room, that would be permissible. The only thing is, the post can say that even if a light's on in an adjacent room, it still shouldn't be as a light. A room shouldn't be literally, like the post can use the phrase, shouldn't be maliora, shouldn't be so light. The halacha is that the room doesn't have to be mamish pitch black for Shas Tashmish, but it shouldn't be so full of light. But if there's a light on literally in that room itself, that would be a problem. We spoke about this in one of the Wednesday night shiurim recently about Yom Kippur. That's the reason, that's the real reason why we light candles in Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, there's really no mitzvah about Lachos Neiros Shabbos in Erev Yom Kippur. The only reason why we light candles in Erev Yom Kippur is in order to prevent having Tashmish Shamita. That's what we pointed out in one of the Wednesday night shiurim recently. So therefore, the Pashas, when a person lights candles in Erev Yom Kippur, it doesn't make any sense to light the candles downstairs and in the dining room. One should really light the candles upstairs in the bedroom. That's why I think lechatchila that women like to light the candles in the dining room. They only get 20 candles in the bedroom. So lechatchila, one should be machpid on your Erev Yom Kippur to not only light the regular Yom Tov candles, but one should light a night light. One should take one of those little electric lights or whatever it is, or turn on a lamp in the room. There should not be a light on in the room. It doesn't have to be so high a light, a little lamp or something, a little night light, which would in effect also having tashmish in front of that light, so that should be done in Erev Yom Kippur to really be used to the proper day of Avodah Zarah in Erev Yom Kippur. So comes the Gemara Maseches Beitzah with the following shaila. So a couple has a candle in the bedroom, So they forgot to blow it out Erev Yom Tov. So now comes Yom Tov night, the couple wants to be together. The halacha says, Osl Shabbos Ritosel Yohaneh. So the tie comes with the following shaila. Am I allowed to blow out the candle in order to permit Tashmi Shamita? So one could argue that here the kibui is Litzarech Hayom. The kibui is, it's not Echol Nefesh Mamesh, but Sekesh Tachol Mitaych. That just as I'm allowed to extinguish a flame in order to enhance the food, so too can I extinguish the flame in order to enjoy Yom Tov. So that's the shaila that the Gemara raises. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says, what's the shaila? What's the big deal? Why does the guy have to bother extinguishing the candle? Why are we draining and knocking the heads against the wall? There was lachlekes of yudin, there are bun, and the whole, the fascinating lomdash of sugya in so many different, realms. That's sugya in the second breath of Beisa. But the Gemara asks, why do you have to bother extinguishing the candle? Evshalem bin mechitza. The Gemara asks, why does the guy have to bother putting out the candle? Let him just put a mechitza there. Because halach, as we said before, that if you have a candle in an adjacent room, so then it's okay, then it's not a problem. If you have a rishus ma'as, you have mechitza ma'asekis. So it's okay, because they drain us a cup, but it's mutter. It's a strange Gemara. The Gemara says, yes, halachi shayla. That's like a rough today would respond. Sometimes people call me with a shayla. So I don't know the answer. I don't have time for the answer. So I don't drain me a cup. It's so much easier to do XYZ rather than make me spend the next 20 minutes explaining to you what the real thing is. So that's like the Gemara's answer. The Gemara saying, what are you saying at the cup? Just special as mechitza. So it's not a problem. That's what the Taz picks up on that one. It's very uncharacteristic of the Gemara. The Gemara is raising a lomb the shishal. You should answer the shishal. Strange Gemara. So we'll see a little bit later why it's important that the shishal was on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Epshalev in mechitza. So all the Acharonim jump and say, wait a second, Epshalev in mechitza? This is Yom Tov night. What do you mean Epshalev in mechitza? It's not Epshalev in mechitza. Vishlam, according to Rashi, it's Epshalev in mechitza. Rashi holds, that you're allowed to make a mechitza, even a mechitza materas on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's only mechitza shall arroy. So it's okay, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, a mechitza materas is a problem. Any mechitza that's made to permit an activity that would otherwise be prohibited, so my nafkimina whether the activity is carrying, the activity is eating it outside of a sukkah, the activity is going to the bathroom, like the ma'aram, the activity is tashra shamita. L'chora, to make a mechitza b'fnei ha'ner, to permit tashra shamita, should be a problem, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So what do you mean, Epshalev in mechitza? This is the kasha that all the acharonim are bothered with, according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So I would have agreed with Henry saying, if not for the Maamar Hutenberg, I would have somehow conceptually said that an Eruv, that's a different kind of a mechitza. That creates a Farishus HaYochid. A sukkah creates a Chalashim sukkah. But the mechitza of the Maamar Hutenberg that creates the head to go to the bathroom, so
it creates a legal separation between the Sfarim
right, which is exactly what the mechitza in front of the ner does also. It creates a legal separation, and it's a different rishus. Even if it's light in the room, it ikra din its mutter, as long as it's shalom b'smei haner. So mechitza creates a shalom b'smei haner.
I understood it. I understood wrong. I understood differently. I understood.
Because it's blocking the light.
Right, blocking the light. And that doesn't create a chalos m'shem cheder. But the mechitza by the bathroom create
a chalos okay, we're going to come back to that. The Magen Avraham has a little bit of a nuance like that, but the pasha in the Gemara is Eshalav and Mechitza means a Mechitza 10 Tavachim. It's not going to block the light all that much. It's still Mikra than Mutter. So it could be that this is the extension of the Maharam and Ritzim. It is the extension of Rabbeinu Tam Sulkaneiru. So what's the answer to this problem? So comes the Taz and says, I'll tell you what the answer is of the Taz. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, we would think Shabbos and Yom Tov, that means Shabbos is Mochom, Yom Tov is Mochal. That's not the Pshat, says the Taz. The difference is as follows. Says the Taz, you know what the emissa answer to the Gemara's question is? Are you allowed to blow out the candle? Let's not forget, the original Shabbos of the Gemara was, can you do kibbutz? Then the Gemara drained us a cup with Asiyas Mechitza. Says the Taz, at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, don't tell anyone, says the Taz, you're really allowed to blow out the candle. So what did the Gemara just say? You're allowed to blow out the candle. Because if you look at that sugi, you'll see that the Gemara relates this shaila about blowing out the candle to a machoikis, Rabbi Yudim Derabbanan, about machshire and echol nefesh, a very, very complicated yantar sugi, where the Gemara says you're supposed to try to avoid doing. The Gemara The Gemara speaks about a unique type of Bishah and Chushyav. Again, we're leaving out the details now. We're not really doing a Chushyav right now. But the Gemara concludes it's like a halacha v'yed morin kain. It means, me'ikah, then you're really allowed to blow up the candle. It just said it's better not, so it's going to lead to the zilzal. One guy's going to blow up the candle for this, and this guy's going to lower the gas in his flame. On his stove, it's not a good idea to be lowering flames through blowing out candles. But me'ikah, then says the Taz, you really are allowed to blow up the candle. So the Taz, hash the lumbus. Since Me'ikar Hadin, you're really allowed to blow out the candle, you can no longer declare the Asiyas HaMechitza as a Mechitza Materis. What does Mechitza Materis mean? Mechitza Materis means that this Mechitza is the only way to be mapped in this activity. You are stuck. You're in a bind. That's an Erevin. You want to carry something. There's only one way in the world for you to permit carrying in this area, and that is to build a Mechitza. That is called the Mechitza Materis. Or, in the case of the Sukkah, I got two walls. My third wall fell down. I want to eat lunch here. The only way for me to do that is to build a mechitza. That's called the mechitza materis. Case in Amar Rittenberg, person has to go to the bathroom. The only way for him to permit to go to the bathroom in this area is to put a mechitza in front of the svarim. That's called the mechitza materis over here. The guy's got two options. He can either blow out the candle or he could build a mechitza. So says the Taz, we don't want him to blow out the candle. We're going to advocate not blowing out the candle. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, when we're really stuck in the corner, we're going to let him blow up the candle also. Says the Taz, It's like, Migo, since he has the ability to blow up the candle, so that transforms this action into no longer being a Mechitza Matera. It's a razzle-dazzle shot of the Taz. Comes the Magen Avraham and says a similar word to the Taz, but with a little bit of a different twist, a little bit closer to what Henry was saying. Comes the Magen Avraham and says, a person has a candle in the room. He wants to be Mishamish Mitaso. So a priest can work, says the Magen Avraham. There are two ways to solve the problem. There are two totally different ways in Halacha that he could solve this problem of it shouldn't no longer be, it should no longer be in the category of Mishamish Mitaso. One is, says the Magen Avraham, he could literally just cover the candle. If he could figure out some kind of an Eitzah that the candle is no longer giving off light, that it's Mamish covered over with something, so in the process right after Mechaveh it, but if he puts a lampshade, if I put something over the candle in such a way that it really covers it, that it's not giving off light anymore, so says the Magen Avraham, that's of course what we'll that's about it. I called La'or Haner. Says the Magen Avraham, there's another Eitzah. The other Eitzah is Al Pi Halacha to create a hefsek between him and the candle. So how does he go about creating the hefsek between him and the candle? If he creates a halachic rishus, he creates a new halachic, what's the definition of halachic rishus? In Kol HaTerkul, halachic rishus, you see like 10 tvachim, you make a mechitza 10 tvachim, the same way 10 tvachim is a different rishus to Erev and Sukkah and all other areas of halacha, 10 tvachim is considered to be a different rishus. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, person has this candle in front of him. In theory, he could be mat etash v'shanita by covering the candle, not by making the halachic rishus of 10 tvachim. It's just that it's easier for him practically to take a box and put it in front of the candle rather than try to cover over the candle without blowing out the candle in the process. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, once he has another option, once he has another Eitzah, you can no longer declare that that's considered to be a Mechitza Materis in Shabbos. It's only considered to be a Mechitza Materis if it's done in a Tzura that this is what he's forced to do. It's considered to be the Teres Mechitza Materis because this action that he's doing is what's saving the day. This is what's being matter. Once he has another way, once we could tighten up his action, once we could size up his action and say that, well, what he's doing is not really the Teres Mechitza Materis, then it no longer is considered up the Halacha to be a Mechitza Materis. Because again, remember the original marshal, the original model, the original illustration, Mechitza Materis, the Erev, the Sukkah, the Baram Ritma, the Mam is stuck in the corner. So that's called the Mechitza Materis. But now you have an Eitzah around it, so that's no longer considered the Mechitza Materis. We'll have to see this. I'm shocked. We'll see this from next week. I'm going to continue with this Magen Avraham to highlight the Machloikas in the Taz and the Magen Avraham and how this plays out Lamaisa, how both the Taz and the Magen Avraham are going with the same, with the similar Mahalach in terms of when there's an Eitzah, when you can somehow reevaluate what you're doing and not label as Mechitza Materis, so it loses the status of Mechitza Materis. See how this plays out in terms of this particular case and see how this plays out in terms of other examples, other possible scenarios of Mechitza Materis. Thanks for that.
Because each other takes the Sukkah to the Rishus.
I think you're 100% right. The Sukkah and Erev